Welcome to Policy and Politics with Dave Crooks. My guest this weekend is David Sanders, a scientist, Purdue professor, member of the West Lafayette City Council, and founder of the grassroots organization StopTheWaterSteal.org. We talked to Dr. Sanders on our program a few months ago, and we'll definitely get an update on the progress related to that big development in that part of our state. But a timely issue that's come up right now is Senate Bill 202 in the Indiana General Assembly, and he has a unique take on this particular piece of legislation. And before we get Dr. Sanders' take on this, let me go ahead and follow up on a story that I caught on the web from Isabella Vollmert. She's with the Associated Press, and she filed this on the 21st of February earlier this week, late in the afternoon. And according to her report, legislators in Indiana advanced a bill Wednesday that would limit tenure at public colleges and universities, joining conservative lawmakers across the country, creating state laws to influence operations on campuses they view as unfriendly or hostile to conservative students and professors. The Indiana House Committee on Education approved the bill along party lines, giving it a chance of a full floor vote in the Republican-controlled chamber. The state Senate approved the bill earlier this month on party lines. Conservative criticism of higher education has led to dozens of attempts in recent years to limit tenure and diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, commonly referred to as DEI. Bills introduced in Nebraska this year, for instance, would ban DEI programs at state colleges and universities and eliminate tenure. Indiana's measure, according to this article, is less definitive, but it would establish a post-tenure review process to be conducted every 5 years and create a policy preventing faculty from gaining tenure or promotions if they are, quote, unlikely to foster a culture of free inquiry, free expression, and intellectual diversity within the institution, end quote. Opponents at colleges around the state say it would effectively do away with tenure, a coveted status ensuring employment that can only be terminated under specific circumstances. The practice has traditionally been considered as a way to protect faculty from being terminated over what they teach and research. Indiana campuses would struggle to recruit faculty if the proposed becomes law, and professors who testified against it in legislative committees made that clear this week. It would have a very chilling effect on teaching and research at all levels, said Maria Marsh, a librarian at Indiana University and president of the Indiana Conference of the American Association of University Professors. And now to get a different take on this is Dr. David Sanders. And David, what's unique about your take on this? Not only are you active on the Purdue campus, the gentleman that authored this legislation, Spencer Deary, who used to work at the Purdue staff along with Mitch Daniels, he authored this legislation, and you guys ran for that open Senate seat. So I definitely wanted to get your take on all of this, since you've got a unique perspective on Senate Bill 202 and how it's gotten to this point. So again, welcome to the show, and give us your response to what we just shared from the reporter from the Associated Press.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for hosting me today, and I want to thank your listeners for their time. So the first thing to mention is that even if there were some concerns of conservative students about Indiana campuses, let's assume that's the case, this bill addresses none of those issues. I have many conservative colleagues. Some of them like some of the removal of DEI components from the campuses. They like those elements in the bill. But nevertheless, in the words of one of them, the bill is absolutely crazy. And this is coming from my conservative colleagues. The definition of intellectual diversity is absurd. It talks about multiple and varied and divergent approaches to a plethora of public policy issues. Listen, if I'm an engineer, this applies to everybody on campus, and it's a requirement that one engages in what's so-called intellectual diversity. I'm teaching a freshman engineering class, for example. This is not about public policy. It's about engineering. But now there is going to be a requirement that I teach about these issues. That's what the bill says. this bill, the whole purpose of this bill, the only outcome of this bill is that there are going to be lawsuits if it's ever invoked. It's incredibly poorly written. It is incredibly insulting to the students of Indiana universities that they are not capable of listening to their professors and making their own decisions about the content of the classes. And it is, in fact, compelling speech and limiting speech. That's the problem here. The compelling speech is it tells us that we have to provide multiple perspectives on issues. So, for example, you know, there's a substantial population in the United States that thinks that Boilermaker Neil Armstrong never stepped on the moon. So if we mention that, do we have to, you know, discuss what other people have to say? I work on viruses. There's, you know, stuff in the scholarly literature which says that HIV does not cause AIDS or that vaccination causes autism. Neither of these things are true. The evidence against them is overwhelming. But am I required, because there exists such a, you know, opposition, unfounded opposition things, that I have to discuss them? Here's an example, intellectual diversity. We have a professor who works on the Holocaust during World War II. Does that mean that in order to maintain intellectual diversity, Purdue University has to hire somebody who says the Holocaust is a hoax? The fact that certain students are uncomfortable with what they learn in the classroom, I happen to know, I teach biology, there's a certain segment of my classes that rejects evolution. They simply don't think evolution is correct. Evolution is the central organizing concept of biology. There is no countervailing evidence against a biological evolution. It should not be that I am judged on the basis of, you know, whether I say evolution, you know, that I have to, you know, that I say evolution, that there's all the evidence is in favor of it. I don't have to say, well, there's an argument against it and give that equal time. That's not what higher education is all about. And so this thing is absurd on its face. The justification is that somehow students from Indiana are not applying to higher education, not just applying to higher education in Indiana, not applying to higher education anywhere, because they are concerned about, you know, being comfortable in the classroom. This, first, that's an absurd contention, but secondarily, this would not address it. I don't think that there are students sitting out there waiting for SB 202 to be passed for them to say, oh, now we've got this bill, I'm going to apply to an Indiana university. I wasn't planning to go to college before, but now I'm going to because there's this bill, SB 202.
Yeah, and who determines? I guess I've not read the bill yet, so shame on me being a former legislator as I got under the gun before this interview started. But in the proposed statute, or at least in the bill, what do they specifically require, I guess, Indiana to do? I know you kind of mentioned the intellectual diversity, I guess, but I guess what is the mandate to make sure that there's always this supposed equal offering of evidence, even though one may be clear in evidence that it exists and one's not clear at all or doesn't even have any bona fide proof, kind of like, you know, fake election or election stolen kind of nonsense or what?
And that's exactly, yes, that's exactly what the bill is maintaining. First thing is it's this vague definition of intellectual diversity. But second, it is placing all the decision making in the hands of the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees are not scholars. These are not people who really have the ability to evaluate this. And to think about this, they're going to have to review, I don't know, at Purdue, 400 faculty every single year, on this basis. And they're not really given any proper instruction about how they're supposed to go about this process. It's rife for abuse, and it is arbitrary, and it does eliminate tenure. The purpose of tenure is to protect academic freedom, to protect speech in the classroom and in one's research. And the author of this bill has claimed it doesn't apply to research. Read the bill. It doesn't say that. What it says is that you can't be disciplined for engaging in research. It does not say anything about the content of the research, or, you know, if the board of trustees decides that, you know, there isn't enough intellectual diversity in the research that they can't act on that. Furthermore, it never mentions the classroom. It talks about students and courses. Well, I'm surprised that the author of this bill, the sponsor, doesn't realize that research is conducted with students in courses. So if you read the bill, it seems to imply that, for example, I could not discuss in the laboratory with somebody who I work with, you know, on a daily basis. I couldn't discuss any topical issues. I could only discuss, you know, I wouldn't be able to speak with them as a human being. I can only speak with them about the research. I'm not allowed to talk about other topics. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely an insane encroachment on freedom of speech. And it's honestly an embarrassment for the state of Indiana. It will prevent us being able to recruit students. The graduate students came out this past week against it.
All right, we're talking with David Sanders, and he's a professor at Purdue University. And just to kind of give a little bit of a balance, and for those that want to track down every word of the news release by the author, which is Spencer Deary in District 23. If you Google his website at the IN.gov portal, you can go there. But I did print off his news release when he put six important facts about SB 202, and I won't go into all the paragraphs, but let me just give you the highlighted bold prints, and I want you to give me a quick response and try to make it fast so we don't run out of time, because I still want to touch on what's going on with the LEAP project. But he says, university trustees in Indiana already approve or reject tenure decisions. So he highlights that. Any quick response to that?
That is true, but it goes through you know, academic analysis. There are letters of recommendation about this. They evaluate your research. They ultimately have the approval. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
He says, as trustees make tenure decisions, faculty in Indiana lack protections in state law based on fired or denied tenure for the content of their research, or for criticizing administrators, or for their outside political activities. According to Senator Deary's news release, Senate Bill 202 would fix this by protecting tenured faculty in the ways the practice was originally intended. Your response to that?
Tenure at every institution in the state of Indiana already provides those protections. It's true. It's not written in state law. The protections as written are so weak, and they were written so poorly. It was a cynical afterthought inserted into the bill that Senator Deary had to amend it just this past week, because the protections as written didn't provide any protections whatsoever. So this is it is a cynical afterthought, and it's not necessary. What they're doing is putting tremendous pressure on tenure and providing us with very weak protections.
He mentions post-tenure reviews are already common in higher education, and then. And then I'll just throw this out. I know there's a lot of school boards in high school, or at least local communities, wanting these school boards to have more micromanaging of the actual curriculum. And I'm married to a retired teacher, but you know, that's not really, you know, as simple and possible as some people make it out to be, because you do kind of plan as you go at times, based on topical things or whatever else might be out there, depending on what the actual topic is you're teaching, of course, as you know.
We have annual post-tenure reviews. Every faculty member at Purdue University who has tenure is reviewed on an annual basis. We have to provide information on our teaching, on our outreach, on our research, and this is evaluated by our colleagues, and our benefits, our raises are based upon this evaluation. So the idea that there is no post-tenure review is simply wrong. It already happens. This is not a post-tenure review. This is political interference into what the speech that we are using in our courses, with our students, in our research, and so on. It's the fact that there exists post-tenure review is irrelevant to what this bill is trying to impose upon us.
To touch on another point that this Spencer Deary, the senator for District 23, made and the author of this bill, he says, conservative students have a different experience at Indiana State universities than liberal students. A 2022 Gallup survey commissioned by the state found that only 43% of politically conservative students in Indiana believe they can openly express their opinions, compared to 74% of politically liberal students. And the survey also found that conservative students were more than three times as likely as liberal students to believe that their professors discourage them from sharing their political or social views in classes related to political, historical, or cultural topics. How do you respond to that, David?
Well, number one is when you actually go look at the poll itself, you'll see a few things. Number one is that conservative students are mostly concerned about their fellow students, not about the professors. This bill, of course, will not address that. Freedom of speech doesn't give you the right to be popular, right? If you're going to come to class and express that the Holocaust did not happen, or if you are going to express, you know, racist or misogynistic opinions in class, you will not be popular in, you know, with your fellow students. And so if those are opinions that you happen to have and you're afraid of expressing them, that's, you know, that's the consequence of having those particular types of opinions.
Yeah, well said.
In terms of the professors, I mean, if you look at the surveys, which I've done, you will see, for example, that the people who are most fearful, or the lowest percentage of those who feel comfortable, are not conservative students. They are Muslim students, Jewish students, and Native Americans. So this bill obviously doesn't address that. The issue, once again, is if you might be concerned about expressing your opinions because of the nature of your opinions. But this bill addresses none of that. The way it's written, it can't possibly address any of it. All it's doing is empowering a politically appointed board of trustees to somehow, make decisions, arbitrary decisions on promotion. It's not just about tenure. It's about any motion, and it's about granting of tenure. There are also provisions about hiring as well that are put into this bill. So it's simple, and it's not. And again, it's not going to make any difference to the. It's not going to make any positive difference to the experience of conservative students in the classroom. It couldn't possibly do that.
So it sounds like this will end up in conference committee, and we'll find out near the end if this thing makes it out of the sausage grinder, I guess, is the bottom line. And since the Republicans do have the majority votes, and it looks like it had that kind of support in committee, it's got a good chance of becoming law, it looks like, doesn't it, David?
It could very well be. I don't speculate about the future. I just think it would be terrible for Indiana, terrible for Indiana students, terrible for these. Our universities are economic engines for the state of Indiana. And this is going to both promote exodus of some of our most talented faculty from the state, and because of the restrictions on speech, and discourage people from wanting to come to our state to participate in our institutions of higher education, both students and faculty.
Well, I would encourage people to take a deep dive on this. I even pulled up an article, if we had more time. Russ Skilba has wrote an opinion editorial about this from February 19th that's very critical. And he even touches on how he even believes it's a racist type attack and even maybe makes a reference to some of the CRT. Is that part of the backlash maybe that maybe we're not really seeing that, you know, with all the talk about CRT, I guess, earlier? Is that maybe where part of this maybe coming from, part of the initiative to push something forward like it?
It is. But I do want to mention there's this organization called the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. It's called FIRE. Its major purpose is to advocate. I mean, it's not explicit, but that's the way it functions. And this is the way it's described. Major function is to make sure that conservative voices can be heard on college campuses. They have come out strongly against SB 202 as an assault on freedom of speech. So if you've lost FIRE, you've lost practically everyone that is supposed to be on your side. It's a terrible bill.
Well, I can tell you that as a former lawmaker for 12 years, if you have a very strong opinion on a piece of legislation like this, one way or the other, reach out. You can call the State House or you can go to each one of the legislators' webpages through the IN.gov site, and you can send them an email. Legislators do look at these emails. They do get the phone messages, and a handful of phone calls will definitely make a difference. And, David, before we wrap this up, I know when you and I last spoke a few months ago, people even in Terre Haute and the whole Wabash River region starting to understand what's at threat with this concept over at Boone County near Lebanon, Indiana. And you've already created a grassroots organization called Stop the Water Steal, where they're trying to find a way to put a water pipeline in from the aquifer in west central Indiana and supply water for the LEAP project. Can you give us a quick update on where we stand on that since we spoke?
Absolutely. So there are even more resolutions around the state in opposition. This is a regional effort. And what you just said before about writing to your legislators, we've had a number of writing campaigns that have been incredibly effective at getting responses from our state leadership and so on. We're not there yet. You know, we haven't definitively defeated this project, but we are getting more and more attention to it. It turns out that the legislative bills that were fairly weak bills that were trying to address the issue, they did not get a hearing in committee. This is a long-term issue. They're not going to be building the pipeline tomorrow, but it's not, you know, infinitely in the future. It's coming up. So people need to be educating themselves more about this. It will have very widespread implications for water resources around the state, where water is coming from and where it is going to. And finally, there's something that we spoke about before, which are these innovation development districts, IDDs. It's a product of State Enrolled Act 361-2022. And it really needs to be repealed, and that's going to be a focus of our efforts going forward, because it empowers the IEDC. IEDC used to be a marketing agency for the state of Indiana, perfectly fine, but now it's a real estate company, and it's also a tax-gathering organization. There's really been mission creep, and that's part of what underlies the lack of transparency, the lack of responsiveness in this project is that they are trying to create a large pot of money for themselves so they don't have to go back to the state legislature in order to fund their projects.
And yeah, so a lot of regional economic development corps have figured that out. I know Davies County has been active for years, and they've actually had some success, but I get what you're saying. And David, thank you for your time, not only for a deep discussion on Senate Bill 202 that's very timely right now, but not only that, but an update on what is going on with the LEAP project and your grassroots effort, stopthewatersteal.org. As always, we do appreciate your time and the way that you can articulate so well to people what is really going on, because obviously with people's busy schedules and lifestyles, they don't always have all the time to dig down all the details. So we thank you for your efforts today.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right. Have a great weekend. Policy and Politics with Dave Crooks is a production of the DLC Media News Department. Downloads of this program and past shows are available at any one of our DLC Media radio station sites. Follow Dave Crooks on X or Facebook to learn who will be appearing next week, as well as the times and list of radio stations where you can hear the show first. I'm Dave Crooks. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.